John chapter 11, if you would please, in your Bibles. We're going to read a little bit this morning as we begin. Just the first 16 verses. So if you found your place there in John chapter 11, if you please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we'll read responsively here through these 16 verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses, and you can join me out loud on the even verses as we go through the first 16 verses of John chapter 11. I'll begin in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Of these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Well, take a look at the scriptures here, and what a joy it is to be able to be in the house of the Lord. And we indeed are but sinners saved by grace. Amen? Right. And if it were not for Christ, where would we be? Well, lost, hopeless, undone, all of those things is the right answer, right? And so as we look at this passage of Scripture today, I meant what I said as I was praying there. As far as this idea, this story is well known, right? Lazarus being raised from the dead amongst Christians, the most famous verse in the Bible, right? John 11:35, Jesus wept, okay? I think every child has used that in every scripture contest ever as a memorization tool, right? Come on, teenagers. so we see those things here in scripture, and yes, it was a sorrowful time, all right? Somebody dying is not something to, you know, throw a party and celebrate and laugh at. That's not the vibe we get, right? It's crying, mourning, you know, yes, it's true. But I want you to look at what Jesus says here. And in verse 4 is where we're going to kind of focus our mindset and idea for this entire 16 verses. Jesus says to them, so remember these people that he loved, they sent word to him saying, please come help us. We love you. You love us. We're friends. We have a good relationship. You're the Son of God. As far as Mary goes, you know, she's maybe thinking, I just sat at your feet and wiped your feet with my hair, this outpouring of love and devotion to the Lord, and they say, please come help us. Lazarus is sick. And we're turning to you. We're not turning to the doctors. We're not turning to other people. We're turning to the Savior. We're turning to Jesus, the Messiah. Come help us. We love you. You love us. There's this thing. And in verse 4, Jesus puts all of this into perspective. So please understand, we ought to look to Jesus to put things into perspective, right? Don't look to mankind to put things into perspective. Look to the living Word, Jesus Christ, to put things into perspective. Look what he says. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So today, as we're going to hit the highlights and these some of these thoughts here about this particular story, this record of Scripture, and the certain sorrow and difficulties of Lazarus and his family, and etc. But we're also going to look at the point. The point is for the glory of God. See, that's the point. You want to know what the meaning of life is? It's for the glory of God. That's the meaning of life. Does life have meaning? Yes, it does. It's for the glory of God. Did this relationship between Mary and Martha and Lazarus have meaning? Yes, it was for the glory of God. Did Lazarus getting sick have meaning? Yes, it was for the glory of God. Did his death have meaning? Yes, it was for the glory of God. Did Jesus and his disciples that are going to be going back into an area where the Pharisees, just the last couple of chapters we read about, remember, just in verse 39, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." And remember back in verse 31 of chapter 10, he said that the Jews took up stones again to stone him. This was not a good thing. He escaped their hand. He escaped their tries to, because it was not yet his time, right? So they're going to be going back into the teeth of this hatred, this unsettlement, this time where they want to kill Jesus. And even Thomas, which Thomas gets a lot of flack, right? Doubting Thomas. But Thomas was like, "Hey, let's go die with him." So don't put too much pressure on Thomas. I mean, I think he was a good man, good disciple. But listen to me. So you understand that all of this, what was all this for? For the glory of God. And Jesus even said, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." You say, but Pastor, he died. Yes. But he also rose again from the dead. And so you understand that this was for the glory of God. And I like what it says in verse 15. He says, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." You understand that even our belief in Jesus Christ and on Jesus Christ is for what? For the glory of God. You say, but it's to my benefit. Hey, I never said it can't have a dual benefit. You know that the successes in your life are of a benefit to you, aren't they? Right? You enjoy the benefits of that. Food to eat, clothing to wear. You know, yeah, we enjoy it. But you know what? It ought to be for the glory of God. Not for the glory of you. And not for the glory of me. All that's around us is for the glory of God. The money you have in your pocket is for the glory of God. The job that you have, it's for the glory of God. The food on your table is for the glory of God. All of this life is for the glory of God. Hey, let me remind you too that the good things of life are for the glory of God. And the bad things of life are for the glory of God. How about we just say this? All things in life, good, bad, ugly, are for the glory of God. That's the point. As we look at these scriptures, we need to look to Jesus to see what the point is. The point is for the glory of God. That's what we need to focus on in our lives. So, first of all, as we look at this thing, we understand that this is a sorrowful time. This is a difficult time. This is a sad time. Mary and Martha, who loved Jesus, Lazarus, who loved Jesus, they spent time with him. They developed a relationship with him. Nobody likes their loved ones to fall sick. We do not like that. It brings sorrow, misery, anxiety, depression, discomfort. It's sad. Nobody likes that. It was a sad time. When he heard these things and Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, he still cared for Mary and for Martha and for Lazarus. When you go through your difficult times in life, and I say when, not if, when you go through your difficult times in life, it's not because he doesn't care for you. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's not because you did something wrong. It's not because of anything else. You understand, it's for the glory of God. He still cares for you. He still loves you. Because he's constant. I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You understand, we've got to understand the nature of God. What do all of these things, you say, but it's cancer, Brother Combs, or it's a terminal illness, Brother Combs, or it's a sudden accidental death, and maybe a car accident, or a work accident, or something. You don't understand, why does God not care? Why does God not love me? He does. He does love you. He does care. At no time do we see in this passage of Scripture or the rest of the chapter that Mary and Martha had done anything wrong, that Lazarus had done anything wrong. They were in good standing with the Lord. They were in a right relationship with God. Why did this happen? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. The first thing we need to understand today, and due to the text and the passage of Scripture that we have, is that suffering is going to come in our lives for the glory of God. It's going to. Did you know that when our flesh is weak, then he is made strong? In the Old Testament, we have an example of this. There was a king named Hezekiah. Everybody remember Hezekiah? Good old Hezekiah. I love talking to kids. We'll do sword drills, scripture drills, and we'll say, all right, everybody get your Bibles ready, put your Bibles up, right? Hezekiah 1:3. And go, and some kids will start looking, there is no Hezekiah, okay? It just sounds like one of those Old Testament names, so it's kind of fun. It is an Old Testament name. He's a king. and so Hezekiah, overall, for the most part, good king, okay? Good king. But do you understand that when Hezekiah was strong, that's when he became weak? Because in pride, he lifted himself up. He began to think, hey, I've done all these things, and guess what happened? Yeah, that was his fall. That was his downfall. So when we're weak and we're needy of God, that's when God is made strong. That's when God is glorified. What glory is it if I can do it all myself? Guess whose glory it is? It's mine. Because I did this. And I earned this money. And I'm providing a roof over the head for my family. And I have a nice car. And I have means. And I have food. And where's God glorified in all that? If it's all about me. It's not. So what does God do sometimes? Yeah, he knocks that chip off our shoulder. What was Satan's problem? He had an eye problem. Yeah, I will, I will, I will. No, you won't, buddy. Do you understand that sometimes we go through this suffering and sometimes these things are going to happen? But understand, it's not a punishment per se. Now, sometimes we do things and we deserve a punishment. Okay, I'm not talking about those things. As far as we know, Lazarus and his family didn't do anything to deserve this kind of punishment, if you will. But it was for the glory of God. That they might believe. That they might understand that he, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Christ knew the exact condition of Lazarus. He knew what was going to happen. He knew these things, and he said, it's for the glory
of God. Can I tell you something? God knows your circumstances. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows the exact timeline. He knows how it's all going to work out. And it's for the glory of God. And it even says that he was glad that he was not there. It was for the glory of God. You say, how can God be glad that I'm going to go through this sorrow? How can God be glad that I'm going to go through this suffering? The reason he can be glad is because it's for the glory of God. Isn't that worth anything? No matter the amount of sorrow you have to go through, the amount of despair and difficulty that you have to go through, if it's for the glory of God, isn't it worth it? Because let me tell you something. He alone is to receive glory and honor. He alone is worthy of glory and honor and praise. So, isn't that worth it? It's worth it. Sometimes suffering comes, and it comes for the glory of God. God allowed this family to suffer. God allowed this family to go through this so that God and the Son of God could be glorified, and we should consider it a privilege if God allows us to go through those things. Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose that just any family could have weathered this storm? I don't suppose so. This was a very special family. This was a family that Jesus Christ had a personal relationship with. You know, the Bible tells us that he's not going to put us into any circumstance or any difficulty that we cannot bear. Because let me ask you a question. What kind of God would it be that would put you in a circumstance knowing that you couldn't handle the circumstance? That sounds like an evil God to me. But a God that puts you in a circumstance that he knows you can handle, and then if he knows it's too much for you, he gives you a way to escape. What kind of God is that? A benevolent, gracious, and merciful God. And guess what kind of God we serve? Do we serve an evil God or a gracious, benevolent, merciful God? Hello? Okay, this is very simple. We can call this Theology 101 if you'd like to. What's it for? The glory of God. God knew this. He knew that raising Lazarus from the dead would strengthen the faith of many and even bring some to him that would never have otherwise trusted him at all. That was the purpose. Hey, you know what? I am 10,000% okay with God taking my life away and using it to bring other people to Jesus Christ. I am. You know why? You know why I can say those things? Because it's all about the glory of God in my life. Not about the glory of me. You say, but don't you want to live? Well, sure I do. Don't you want to see your kids grow up? Well, sure I do. But what's at stake? The glory of God, that Christ may be glorified through my life or not? That's how we need to see these things. We need to get our minds off of us and onto him. Because life is not about for the glory of Eric. Life is about the glory of God. That's what we need to concern ourselves with. That's what we need to consider here as we look at this passage of Scripture. You understand that if we continue to go through this chapter of the Bible, we would see Martha questioning why God would allow this to happen. And he just simply says, Martha, do you understand these things? Yes. Do you know that if whatever I'll do, yes. Okay, then believe. Then believe. Trust me. This is for the glory of God. I have chosen you as a vessel to carry this truth to those who do not believe. And you're the vessel. Your brother will rise again. Do you believe these things, Martha? Yes, Lord, I do. Then you'll see it come to pass. And he goes through and he tells her all of this. And she says, I believe, in verse 27, that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world. You know what? She got it. She understood. If we go down to verse 40, we see what happens here. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God. Guess what she saw just a few moments later? Lazarus! Come forth. And out he came. You understand, this is for the glory of God. Many believed. In verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. This is for the glory of God. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus knew that his own death was for the glory of God. We need to understand that whether in life or in death, our lives should be for the glory of God. You know, the Bible tells us, I'll get to Mark chapter 8 here in just a minute. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know what being a living sacrifice means? It means living life as if it didn't belong to you. Fancy that. Isn't that amazing? Oh, wait. Scripture, memory, what? Know ye not? Oh, you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Why? To glorify God. That's what it's for the glory of God. He began to teach them, Jesus did in Mark chapter 8, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about, he looked on his disciples and rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. What was Peter's problem? He was a man. That was his problem. He didn't savor the things of God. What are the things of God into one little nutshell? For the glory of God. Those are the things of God. So whatever you're going to suffer through, whatever you're going to go through, you can put whatever name on it, whatever category on it that you want to, whether it's a great suffering or a minor suffering or an in-between suffering. I'm not here to make all those labels today. All I'm trying to tell you is that all this suffering, all this guilty, difficulty and everything is for one purpose. For the glory of God. And I'm not trying to make light of anything that you're going through. Because I know it's the hardest thing you've ever been through in your life. And I sympathize with that and I understand that. But keep one thing in mind. It's for the glory of God. Peter loved the Lord. Did anybody doubt that? No. Lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Right? You understand that exchange that happened between Peter and the Lord. I mean, Peter was there in the garden. He draws his sword and he cuts off the guy's ear. Gung-ho Peter. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yeah, but he denied him. Yes, he did. You know why? Because he's a man. He's frail. He's able to fall through those things and go through those times and difficulties. But do you understand that Peter, he loved the Lord and he said, no, Lord, you're not going to die. They're not going to kill you. And he said, yes, they are. And they're going to do it because God needs to be glorified. It's for the glory of God. You understand that Jesus understood what was going to happen to him. He said that the Son of Man might be glorified, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Time and again, he spoke of the cross and the meaning of his death. And it all hangs in the key that he says to Peter, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. We need to learn to savor the things of God. And that means to embrace times of suffering, and sorrow and difficulty. Why? Because it's for the glory of God. Remember in the book of James, we've been talking about this, right? Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because we're savoring the things of God, not savoring the things of this world. That's the mindset we need to have. Jesus said in our text that he was glad that he was not there so that they could believe and they could see these things and know them to be true. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes this in verse 17 through 30. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You understand that when glory is revealed in us, it glorifies God. So why wouldn't God want that to come in our lives? Why wouldn't, hey, you say, hey, I want to be like Jesus. Okay? When we say that, we just want all the good things, right? You remember how much Jesus was maligned? How much Jesus was lied about? How much Jesus suffered persecution and difficulties, right? But we don't want that part of being like Jesus. We just want all the good part about being like Jesus. You know, being able to heal people and receiving the accolades and, you know, glory to God in the highest and all those things and Hosanna and that's all we want all that, but we don't want this. Well, guess what the whole embodiment of the life of Christ was all about? For the glory of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All of it. Because God is to be glorified. He says we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. He's saying, hey, look, you can't have the good without the bad. We need to have an idea that this is not the way man thinks, but it's the way that God thinks. Remember what Jesus was struggling with in the garden? Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. What was that? That was man's way of seeing things. Right? Who wants to suffer death? Who wants to be beaten and ripped apart and mocked and spat upon? And nobody wants that. Right? But he says, not my will, but thine be done. That was the God part, seeing it God's way. Are we not new creatures in Christ? Those of us that are born again, that have Jesus Christ as our Savior, guess what we get to see things? We get to see things God's way. Peter, he was still not quite getting it, remember, in Mark chapter 8. He said, hey, you're not savoring, Peter, the things of God. You're savoring the things of man. You're seeing it from the wrong perspective. Just trying to help us understand that this is not a sad story. This is not a sorrowful story. This is not something to weep and mourn and cry over. This is a story of glory, for the glory of God. You are going to go through difficulties. You are going to go through struggles. In Timothy, it tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In Psalm 50, David wrote and said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. He said, the day of trouble is going to come. Call unto God, he'll deliver you and it'll glorify God. That's what life is all about. The second thing I want you to see is not only do we need to suffer for the glory of God, but we also need to understand that we need to strive for the glory of God. Let me just make reference to this. In our scriptures, we have a family who is rooted and grounded in their faith. I believe that Martha believed. I believe that Mary believed. I believe that Lazarus himself believed. Even as he drew his last breath, I think something in him just knew that he was going to take another breath again on the other side. I don't know. We're not told that, right? But when Jesus called Lazarus, come forth, what did he do? Responded. But he was dead. Actually, he even smelled, right? He stinketh. It's been 3 days in a hot, nasty tomb. You know, that's how it was. When we say to strive, that means to fight the good fight of faith. To lay hold on eternal life. To endure hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't quit. Why? Because it's for the glory of God. Is the fight worth it? Yes. So what? Keep fighting. What do we fight against? We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Is it worth it? Yeah. Stand. Withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's what Ephesians 6 tells us. Strive for the glory of God. Strive for the mastery. Strive for the victory over the flesh and of this world. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know what we need to do? Strive. Keep fighting the fight. Because it's worth it. Why? For the glory of God. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whosoever is sold in the shambles, let that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not thereof. Eat not for his sake that showed it for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace I be a partaker, then why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether ye, therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What is he saying? Strive. Why should we strive? Why should we keep fighting? Why should we keep pressing forward? Why should we do what we're talking about this whole year of I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Because it's for the glory of God. Why should we go through the times of sorrow? For the glory of God. Why should we go through the persecution and keep the faith? For the glory of God. Why should we put ourselves out on a limb to reach out and try to see people saved and come to know Christ as their Savior? Why should we spend our last $10 on a tank of gas to go out and knock on doors and tell people about Christ? For the glory of God. Why should we keep fighting the good fight of faith? Why should we not be weary in well-doing? For the glory of God. Keep on keeping on. Strive for the glory of God. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes and says, if there be any for any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what Jesus did as he set his face as a flint to go to the cross? He said, I'm going to strive to do this. Was it easy? No. Was it difficult? Yes. Was it worth it? Absolutely. Whatever you're going through in life, don't give up. Why? Because it's for the glory of God. Strive. Fight the good fight of faith. Do what's necessary to make it through so that God can receive the glory for what you're going through. You know, you've heard the term when soldiers are in combat and people say things about let not their death be in vain. Hey, please understand, don't let your sorrow that you're going through, your circumstances, suffering, the difficulty that you're going through, be in vain. You know how it's going to be in vain if you quit, if you give up. Let it be worth something. Let it be of the value that God says the suffering is a value. It's a valuable thing to us. Only if we endure. Only if we stay the course. Paul said, I fought the good fight, right? I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me. You understand? We're to strive for the glory of God. The last thing I want to bring to our attention today is this. That not only do we need to suffer for the glory of God and strive for the glory of God, but we need to serve for the glory of God. I don't serve and I don't do the works of the works that Christ has for me to do for me and for my glory. I don't even do it for the glory of this local church. I do it for the glory of God. What good is a servant that serves unto himself? None. No good at all. Think about what a servant is and supposed to be. They're supposed to be what? For the master. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. We need to serve God as if it was for the glory of God. Oh, what an amazing thought. That's so profound. No. It's not. It's just simple. But you know what? We need to understand it from God's point of view, not our own. Most of the things that we do in life are for our own glory. That's why? That's human nature. But what are we supposed to serve? God. We're supposed to serve Christ. Our life is supposed to be a living sacrifice. It's supposed to be holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your service to God is not so you can get a... So that you cannot be... Oh, look at him. No, it's so you can say, oh, look at him. Our life of service should be to glorify God. Not to glorify the pastor or the church. Oh, that's such a great church. Oh, he's such a great pastor. No, how about they serve such a great God? Our service should be for the glory of God. Our light should shine so that they can glorify God, which is in heaven. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were under scrutiny for healing this man, and they were commanded not to teach or speak at all in the name of Jesus. And they answered the judgment, and they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. That's the way to live. They didn't glorify Peter and John for what they had done. The people were glorifying God because this man was healed. Because Peter and John were good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 49, the Bible tells us, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant. You understand that Isaiah says, hey, God knew me from the beginning. And he knew that I was to serve him and to be a mouthpiece for him. And this is how it's supposed to be. He says, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely judgment is with the Lord and my work with God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Was God still glorified? Even though Israel didn't turn back to him? Yes. Yes, he was. Why? Because Isaiah served faithfully the Lord. Mark chapter 10. You understand, Jesus told his disciples that if you're going to be the chiefest, if you're going to be the one held above measure, you need to be the servant of all. It's for God's glory that we minister. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Remember in Deuteronomy, we've studied this before. Moses tells the people, and God says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. You know, why was it supposed to do that? So that the earth would know that the Lord is God. So that God could be glorified through a chosen people, the people of God. And he goes on in the later verses there, verses 12 through 18. And he says, to keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes which I have commanded thee this day for thy good. He said, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also and all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. He says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. It's worth it serving God. Not for our glory, but for his. You understand that Jesus is God's son. You go back to John 11 if you've moved on from that place. Was here to glorify the Father. And because he glorified the Father glorified him. You understand that God is a just God. God is a loving God. God is a caring God. He wants what's best for us. And what's best for us is that if we glorify God, then he in turn can glorify us. We're not to glorify ourselves. We're not to seek glory of our own. Guess what we're supposed to do? If God wants to lift me up and glorify me, that's his business. Because he's God. But if I seek it for myself, it's to my own destruction. And guess what the Bible says about that? I have my reward. Remember
in Matthew about the model prayer and about standing on the street corner and praying and seeking the praise of men? No, no. I'm supposed to serve God for God and for the glory of God. This all happened here in John chapter 11 so that God and His Son could be glorified. Your life happens and exists so that God and His Son can be glorified. Mary accepted that. Martha accepted that. I'm going to even guess that Lazarus accepted that. Was it painful? Yes. Was it sorrowful? Yes. Was it sad? Yes. Was it difficult? Yes. Was it worth it all? Yes. Why? Because many believed. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. But you know what that little vapor is supposed to do while it's here? While it's visible? It's supposed to be for the glory of God. Will you make it that way?